Well, hello there. Hello, everybody. Here, Guru Priest Man on the mic. I am so excited. First of all, I want to say that I have created a new series that is going to be launching right now, which this is going to be the first episode. And I have decided to call this series What's Hexing You. I have named it What's Hexing You because to me, a lot of the things that are going on in our lives when it comes to things that we're going through, whether they traumas, whether they are pain that we have within our souls, whether it is something that we're carrying on from an early age, or this is something that we develop in a type in our lives that gave us some type of bad feeling. And hexing is a form of actually just receiving that instead of just detaching your feeling from that particular incident or that particular situation. So what I'm creating here is to be able to have people feel like they're blessed, but also feel healed, because it's not a spiritual thing or a physical thing that needs to be addressed first in order for us to elevate, in order for us to evolve in our lives. So I am very excited. Once again, What's Hexing You? So this is the first episode. It's going to be more to come. And first of all, second of all, I have my first guest. Well, everybody that is going to be on this show is going to be anonymous. And we have given her the name Drea. So Drea, you on the mic, and just let me know how you feeling and what made you be the part of What's Hexing You.
Hey, you guys. Hey, what's up, Jay? Thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it. I'm very excited about this. Sorry, a little nervous, but you know, hey. You know, I'll say this starting off. What led me to, you know, come speak to you and, you know, your subscribers, your viewers about my situation is because a lot of things have plagued me from my childhood, and things even in my adult life are plaguing me now. And I'm in the process of, you know, trying to step up out of that and become a better person, become a better me, and not allow that to stop me from being the better me.
No, I definitely understand that. So I hope that not only yourself, but upcoming guests that come to this show to understand that when I give my opinion, is all my opinion, is not dictating or having anybody follow exactly what I feel that they should. But also, I will be interrupting every now and then, and to help people not only heal, but be able to understand how magic really works and how the universe really works by how they express themselves. So I heard that you use the word trying. So I just want to make sure that you work on that and look for a way to use any other word other than trying. It's not doing something hard enough or just going after something that you want to do 100%. So just work on that word just for right now, and we can continue to go. So let me ask you this. Now that you express how you're feeling and the reason why you wanted to communicate and be a part of this, let me ask you this. What's hexing you?
That's actually a very powerful question. You know, like I said, besides things plaguing me from childhood and adult life, right now I'm going through issues with my marriage, and it's put me in a place of confusion and hurt and pain, and I want to come up out of that. I want to be out of it. I want to, instead of saying trying, I want to do better by me to make me happy.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. Do you feel like the reason why you might not be happy, or you might not feel where you need to be emotionally or spiritually, is because you haven't claimed that? Because if you say that you want to be happy, we all know that we all want to be happy, but are we creating that reality to be the present? Like, for instance, you know, when we use this and we say to ourselves, you know, this is what I want, at the end of the day, this is something we want, but are we working hard enough to find a solution? Or if that's the reason why you feel that many of us need to be healed from situations to have the courage to be able to make decisions and be able to make drastic decisions, that if we didn't have the support or the healing, it wouldn't actually help us evolve or make those decisions and find another way to cope and create our realities. How do you feel about that?
Okay, so first I will say this is, in all honesty, I would say for myself, no, I'm not really making those steps. Like, I would make baby steps. That's what I will say. I'm making baby steps, but I don't need to make baby steps because I'm allowing fear to take place, because I do feel like I don't have a support system, or that I don't have the foresight to say, hey, this is what's going to happen and I'm going to be okay here, instead of taking those steps to, you know, claiming my happiness and saying, hey, I'm going to be happy, or I'm going to do good, I'm going to be good at the end of this, regardless of what may come my way, what obstacles may stop me. You know, I'm putting those bad thoughts in place before I even get the chance to make a move.
That's amazing you say that, because you use the word fear, and a lot of us, and I include myself, because this is something that we humbly have to speak about. Nobody's perfect, and you know, we all healing every day and every second. We're getting better. If we're not getting worse, but we're looking for a way to actually get better. But you mentioned a very powerful word, the word of fear. And this is what I would like to ask you. Do you feel like the reason why many of us, and including yourself, hasn't been able to create that reality, and you name it a want, because of that fear that is stopping us from actually just pushing ourselves out there, because whatever the situation might be, and is getting you to a point of just not giving you the enough courage for you to move, because you're already creating negative thoughts that are bringing those incidents and those thoughts into yourself, and that stop you from actually moving forward. How do you feel about that, or how can you relate to that?
Oh yeah, fear. You know, one thing I want to say about this with fear, it is, I believe, the first emotion, the first thing that comes to mind to us since birth. We fear because we don't know anything. And even as adults, even as children, whatever age we are, fear is always going to be there. There are some people who can live without it, and some people who have to live with it in order to progress or to digress or however in life. But for me, fear has been a negative aspect in my life, where it has stopped me from a multitude of blessings. It stopped me from making decisions in my life to where it could have better me. And I'm really tired of allowing fear to be the ball and chain on my ankle versus the thing that helps me give me flight. Well, like, for example, the one thing my mom would always tell me is this, that you should allow your fear to be your drive. Why? Okay, here's a net. You got a house. You got bills to pay. You got children to take care of. Well, your fear is letting them down, or failure is, you know, fear of failure is, you know, the aspect of it. So what are you going to do? Instead of drawing into that fear, you're going to fight from it. You're going to move past it by working and paying your bills and doing what you got to do to better your life, so that way you can take care of you and your family. And that's where I want to be, where I don't want to look at fear as a negative entity. I want it to be my helper to move forward, if that makes sense.
No, that makes definitely sense. So now that you're going through what you're going through in your marriage, well, and I want to make sure that hopefully by the end of this segment, you get to a point to really see things in a different perspective. So now that you mentioned your marriage, what's really going on in your marriage, and what's really making you feel that you're being hexed?
Well, first thing, I'll explain this before anything or anyone asks questions, because it'll happen. But, you know, me and my husband, we got married at a young age. I was, I want to say, 23, and he was 22. We had a child 10 days before we got married or whatever. And, you know, we didn't take time to learn each other and to understand each other. We knew each other outside of a home, but we never really got to learn each other inside a home. And of course, with different backgrounds and way of life and different religious beliefs and practices and everything like that, when we got into this home, we didn't realize we were bringing on so much stuff that it would disrupt our very livelihood together. So, you know, his way of life was, hey, all I got to do is bring home the money and you should be happy. And, you know, my thing was, okay, well, you know, you bring home the money, but I need you to feed me into me emotionally. And he didn't understand that. And that's not his fault. And I don't blame him for that. So, you know, it became a, well, where he wasn't feeding to me emotionally, where I thought he didn't care and I thought he didn't love me. And eventually, I lost faith in him. And I ended up cheating. And then we tried to move past it. Well, we couldn't get past it. We were having issues getting past it. I'm having issues myself getting past it because I'm myself trying to reach out to other people, and that includes men, like having connections with them because I'm too afraid to have a connection with my husband because I lost trust in him. And he's probably thinking, I'm not going to say like I'm this perfect wife or anything because, like I said, I cheated. But I'm pretty sure there were some things that led to him not being able to communicate with me or talk to me. Or even now, he has trust issues with me. So, you know, it's in a sense, like we're on this balancer, but it's full of negativity. Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like that negativity is actually creating this hexing, like in the sense of actually feeling like it's dominating your life to the point where you're not where you really want to be emotionally?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like at this point, I just want to break free, you know, and not deal like, you know, I don't want to say the word not deal with the issues because, you know, I have to face this issue because I'm, you know, I have to get through this and fix it and then move on. I can't just run away from it because running away from it literally caused me to even, in a sense, hex myself even worse than what I'm already am, you know, running away from your issues and never solve anything.
So now let me ask you another question. Now that you mentioned you cheated on him, mm-hmm. Now, because I want to make sure that other people that might be going through this situation or other people that have experienced this to be able to actually hear it from somebody else's perspective.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact, and I can't even say for a fact because that's for my fact, that majority of people and a whole bunch of people in this world actually do cheat, even though people try to cover it and try to act like they're not cheaters. In the back of their mind, they are cheating, you know?
Yeah.
And when it comes down to that, your situation, what was the reason why you cheated? Do you feel like you wanted somebody different? It wasn't, what was making you do that? Well, what was it about that situation that prompted you to actually cheat on your husband?
Like I said, because me as a person, I'm an emotional person. I'm a person who loves, you know, to feel and to connect with people and to understand people. And I want people to understand me. And, you know, I just want everybody to have, no matter who you are in my life, I want you to be able to feel like you're okay around me and I'm okay around you. We can talk about anything and everything. If I can cry in front of you, then I know I can trust you. But it was getting to a point where I couldn't even cry around my husband. I couldn't even say the simplest things to him because I was afraid that what he would say, because he became verbally abusive. And at one point in time, he was physically abusive. It only happened once, but that was the thing that broke it. The, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, hey, you put your hands on me. And how am I supposed to look at you the same? How am I supposed to deal with you the same way? You, this person that I held on a pedestal, the man that I loved, that I gave everything and did everything for, has just broken me. And eventually what happened was I ended up reaching out to an old friend. And it wasn't even necessarily just to say, hey, let's do this. No, it became, hey, how are you? Checking up on you today. And he did the same thing in return. And the thing was, he was going through some stuff too, and I was going through what I was going through, so we relied on each other for our pains and everything like that, and that's no good. So eventually it became, we're cool, we're friends, we're, you know, we're buddy-buddy, to it became a sexual thing because he saw into me. He would listen to me and hear me and then talk to me about my feelings and things like that. So I thought he was digging me and understanding me and reading into my soul. And I was like, okay, so this is what I've been wanting. This is what I want. And then I made the thought to sleep with him because I was like, well, heck, my husband's not doing this, and why should I give this to my husband? And, you know, it was, I just went on impulse and just did it. I was just like, I care about this guy. I really like this guy. And he kept doing, you know, kept saying these things to me. And I'm like, and I just did it. And will I say that the sex was something that helped, or did I feel accomplished or whatever? Did it fulfill anything? No. It was because he was, like I said, feeding into me emotionally, creating an intimacy thing with me. And that's what I was going off of.
Okay, you mentioned something that really kind of caught my attention. And you said that when you mentioned the sex, and you said that it was not really the sex, but it was just how he was giving you something that you felt that your husband wasn't doing. And you mentioned that particular scenario. So my question to you is this, because I don't want to say that I am confused, because I am not confused. I'm just putting one and two together. So I'm saying this because, do you feel that the reason why a lot of people mess up their marriages when they cheat on their significant other, it might be because they are lusting after the sex of somebody else other than the one that they with?
Excluding your
situation, because that was in your case. But do you feel that a lot of relationships have problems because they went ahead and actually found somebody, but it was the sex that really caught them, you know, to really wanted to be somebody else other than the significant other? I know this has nothing to do with your situation, but since you mentioned it, I'm just curious to know, why did you mention that it wasn't the sex when that wasn't even asked?
The reason why I mentioned it was because, of course, here's the thing, cheating to me comes in different aspects and form. Well, I'm saying looking at another person is considered cheating. No, you know, if someone's attractive. What considered me for cheating, yes, for physically having sex, but also having an intimate or intimacy with this guy on a mental and emotional level. That's also considered cheating for me, because I allowed him into that sacred space where my husband was supposed to be at.
Okay, I understand that. I definitely, yeah, that definitely makes sense. So I have a question that I want to ask you, Drea. So has that only been the only time that you have cheated? Was that the only time that you cheated on your
Physically, I would say yes. That's the only time I have. But I have spoken to, like I said, I've been reaching out to people trying to get this connection that I'm like, literally, like you said, the word lusting for or needing. It's like, I really need this connection. And it's like, I spoke with a guy that I met at a wedding. We talked for a bit, and what happened was it came down to the point of realizing, like, hey, I'm starting over again with the same issues that I caused not just too long ago. Like, I'm letting him into this space where I shouldn't be letting him in. So I cut that off. And then I came to another gentleman who I was just friends with on Facebook, but I knew him prior, because I used to play sports in high school, and that's how I knew of him. And he would post funny things on Facebook that I felt were funny, but they, in context, they were sexual, and I would comment underneath it or laugh at it, and which is a no-go, because that's, you're crossing boundaries. I'm crossing boundaries. And, you know, when my husband confronted me about it, you know, he's like, hey, this is not okay. You know, this is what you're doing. You know, I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying. But honestly, in the back of my mind, like, I kept thinking, like, well, what are you worried about me for? Because you don't love me. You decided you wanted to treat me like crap. And you wasted your pearls amongst the pigs, you know? Like, what do you want? Like, for the longest time, I thought my husband didn't love me. And still to this day, I have issues with thinking that he doesn't love me. But, yeah.
That is, that's great about everything that you're saying. I just want to know, What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you're seeking to be able to get from this learning experience? And what is it that you're seeking to find from spirit or from, yeah, from the universe to give you an answer for you to be able to heal? Because a lot of times the reason why we go through what we go through, that we hold on to our relationship, we do things that a lot of people probably tell us not to do, but they preaching, but they're not following their own preaching. And what do you think that makes us, or in your situation, what is making you continue to stick around? If you already know this is, we already discussed that it was fear, you know, some fear that you got within. But what is it that you're seeking? What do you want to do? And what do you want to accomplish in order for you to feel that you are fulfilling your purpose in this journey, in your journey?
Ultimately, I need to do things that make Drea happy. What I didn't mention this prior, but this is my second marriage. And my first marriage ended because my husband then cheated on me. I tried to make it work, but it didn't happen that way. And in between the first marriage and the second marriage, it was a short amount of time. And, you know, even now, like I said, my current husband married very young. And, you know, I never got to be Andrea. I never got to learn Andrea. I got two kids now. I never got to see what I wanted or what I liked or disliked or what I love or what I hate. You know, I've always lived my life pleasing and making others happy versus making myself happy. And at this point in my life where I'm at, I'm ready to make Andrea happy so Andrea can be at peace with life, so Andrea can grow and love herself, because right now I don't love myself like I should. I want to love myself like I should. I want to be better. I want to do better, you know, for myself. Because if I continue living in a life where I'm pleasing others and making others happy, I'm going to be miserable, and I'm going to end up just going insane because I'm out here trying to fulfill other people's needs and not my own. Internally, I'm not feeding me and loving me. Like I said, I need to be at peace with myself, and I'm not.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. What makes Andrea happy? I want to hear what makes you happy.
And that's the thing. That's the key. And that's like not the key answer that I'm looking for. I'm discovering myself. I'm learning myself in this process. I'm learning that, hey, it's okay to be weird, and it's okay to be goofy, and it's okay to cry and be emotional, because being emotional is what makes it me. And for the past couple of weeks, I've been told me being emotional is a horrible thing. It is a bad thing, and that I should take medication and I should do this. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. You know, why? Why should I cut off me from the world and cut the world off from me like that? You know, that's what makes Drea. But with that being said, I'm learning that. I'm loving that I'm learning that. Granted, I'm 28 years old, I'll be 28 this month. I wish I could have learned it at a younger age, but life is handed to me the way it's handed to me, and learning it is a beautiful process. What makes Andrea happy? What's going to put Andrea at peace? And I'm just taking it one day at a time, and every day is something new for me. I'm learning something new, and I'm thankful for that.
So now that you're saying that, and you mentioned that you were prescribed medication, am I correct?
Yes.
And you saying that you know that those medications were taking you to a point of feeling like you were losing yourself in the process,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. To the point where I wanted to commit suicide.
So let me ask you another question for a lot of people who feel like they want to commit suicide, and a lot of people who are actually taking some type of mental medication. Do you mind sharing what type of medication you were taking, or do you want to keep that private?
No, I don't mind. The when I went in to see a doctor, I'll tell you this, I see a therapist, and we speak about everything, and she was the one that said, hey, we need to be put on an antidepressant / anxiety meds because you have deep depression and anxiety. And I kind of looked at it weird. I was like, okay, maybe the depression part, but anxiety, nah. So when I went to go see the doctor, my doctor was like, you know, she was a little hesitant about it too. She was just like, I don't see you having anxieties, but maybe depression, yeah, we'll go with there. But we're going to start you with something low, Prozac. Prozac is the lowest form of an antidepressant and anxiety med that there is, that is out there on the market for everyone to take. That means man, woman, child, everyone to take Prozac. That is the lowest form. And I started off with the lowest dosage, which was 10 milligrams. And it goes up higher. And for me, I never take medication. I take Tylenol whenever it's extremely needed. But I personally hate medication. What it does to my body, how I feel, how my body reacts to it, it's not needed. There's other ways to heal yourself, to get things, you know, to help yourself versus taking medication. Well, when I took it the first day, Jay, man, let me tell you what. The first day, I was up on edge. I had to leave my house. I had to walk out my house because I couldn't stand the sound of my daughter crying, which is something I'm accustomed to. I work with children for a living. And I had to walk out the house. And I took I drove around, and I had to go keep myself busy and wondering. And I came back home, and I couldn't sleep. And I'd be up and down. My coworkers were looking at me like I was crazy. And then it was just like, man. And then one day I was like, man, I can't take this anymore. Like, I gotta kill myself. Like, I gotta be done with this. Like, feeling like this. I was in a pit, in a dark pit. And I'm just like, I can't feel like this anymore. Nobody needs me. My family doesn't need me. My husband doesn't love me. My children be better off without me. And I was going to do it. And then, you know, that's when my husband reached out and was like, hey, we need help. And we need help now. And I decided that moment. And I was just like, you know what? I got to take myself off of it. And the even crazier part about it is when you take your body off those medications. And I only took it for a week. That's not mind you. When you take your body off, the withdrawal is 10 times worse than what you were on that medication.
Wow. And how many days has it been since you stopped using them?
4 days. We're going on 5 tomorrow. So yeah, 4 days.
Yes. And how are you feeling now that you are, what are you doing to actually like to go through that withdrawal? Because I know for a fact that everything that we do that turns itself into a habit, it turns into, like, to me, it feels like some type of drug, not just because it's medication. We're talking about any type of addictions. Mm-hmm. So how are you dealing with that withdrawal that medication has in place? Because a lot of times people who take those medications, they can't stop because they already get used to them.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to be honest and share this, but, you know, speaking with you, you know, spiritual baths, that was, you know, the one thing I do every night to help detox and cleanse my body. Also speaking with friends of ours and talking with you about my dieting issue. You know, I have dieting issues. Like, I used to have problems with eating, and now I'm going into a vegetarian, vegan diet to help cleanse my body out. Also, to do things to help me mentally. I also, because I love to paint, I love to draw. I draw a lot and I paint a lot. And I get out in the sunlight, because what people don't realize is when you're depressed and you have anxiety or problems like that, being out in the sunlight helps you. That vitamin D that you need in your body, that people say, hey, you can take this pill for. Yeah, you can take a pill for it and it can help, but it will do you no good or no better than the sun outside. So I go every month, because right now winter's getting ready to hit where I'm at. I'm in Kansas. And the sun is not out as long, but as soon as that sun peeks through my windows or wherever I'm at, I'm outside. But also, when I have these moments where my body, because literally, Prozac is what's called, it's an upper. So like, say for instance, you have kids who have ADHD and they take these medications like Ritalin, whatever it is, it's a downer and it calms them down. Prozac is an upper. So what it does is it sends serotonin to the brain to boost me up and keep me moving and bouncing around. Well, when I was withdrawing from it and I wasn't bouncing around like I was supposed to, the medication would send the serotonin to my brain, forcing me to get up and move. Well, when I didn't want to move, my body would shake and it would look like I was having a seizure or a panic attack. And mm-hmm. So what I would do for my shakes practice. I was just wiggle my toes or wiggle my fingers, do exercises, play, do something to keep my mind off the fact that my body was shaking, clean up my house, move around. These things you can do on your own. You just have to have the effort and the drive to do it on your own, or in a sense, the courage also too. You know, I had to force myself to get up. I'm like, okay, if I don't want to shake anymore, then I need to get up and do something. If I don't want to feel down anymore, I need to get up and do something and make myself happy.
Absolutely. So what are you going to do different, or what plan do you have? Because, like, I always advise everybody, and even when it comes to myself and applying it, is to come up with a plan and write down some of the things that we're not satisfied about, and just come up with an answer, come up with a solution. What do you feel that you're gonna do to get rid of this marriage that you feel that is hindering you from you being happy, fully happy? What are you gonna do? What is your plan, and how do you feel you're gonna execute?
Well, before I do anything, I need to fix myself. And when I say fix myself, because obviously there is there's an issue. I need to first look within Andrea and see what the problem is within Andrea. And what I'm doing now is I'm making a list of all the things that I disliked about myself, all the things that I love about myself, all the things that I want to become and be better at. And also looking at my past childhood experiences, even my past adulthood experiences, and all the people who hurt me, and really think on these things and feel these things. But then I have to also realize I have to let them go, because I cannot hold on to these issues any longer. I cannot. Because what happened to Andrea at 4 happened to Andrea at 4. The way Andrea coped and dealt with it at 4 wasn't proper. It wasn't good, because we don't have those skills, or we don't know those skills at a young age. But now that I know older me, Andrea recognizes, hey, this happened. You were hurt. Now, are you going to continue to hurt? Or are you going to continue to allow little Andrea to feel the hurt and the pain, the inside? Because that's literally what you're doing, is you're talking to your inner you, your younger you. And it's like, am I going to continue to allow this to hurt you? And am I going to continue to allow you to not live life because of this one aspect, this one thing? No, you need to get up and move and do what's right by little Andrea. Little Andrea will want you to be better. Little Andrea will want you to go finish with your schooling and get your degree and do what you want to do in life, so that way you can be happy, you know. And once I get to a place where Andrea is satisfied with her, then I can go into my marriage and then ultimately say, hey, this is what's wrong, and this is why I can't do the things that I want to do in it, or this is what needs to be fixed in order for me to say, hey, I can do this, or, you know, but I'm not in that space right now in my marriage where I can say, I can make this work, I can do that, because I still have these things that are plaguing me, hexing me, you know, that I need to get rid of, because it's bringing more baggage and more problems into my marriage.
Yes. So what advice would you give women that are committing, you know, or men that are in a committed relationship, whether they are engaged and they're looking for to get married? What advice would you give them if you could go back before you even got married, knowing that now, I mean, knowing what you know now, and knowing that you have things that you need to work on, things that didn't make you feel good, people who hurt you, and all these things that you need to address? What advice would you give these men and women before they even jump the broom?
Okay, so first things first, considering, like I said, I've been married twice, find yourself. I know people say, oh, I know myself, I know what I want, because I'm at the age of being grown, or I'm at the age of, hey, I may even say, look, my thing is, you can always be grown at the age of 18 to the age of 40 to whatever, you'll always be grown, but you are not, here's the way of putting, you're not growing if you don't learn yourself before you put yourself in a situation with someone you're willing to commit to. You need to outgrow situations. You need to learn about yourself. You need to love yourself. Love yourself, first off, love yourself more than your spouse or your significant other. Because if you're going to go into a situation expecting them to make you happy, you're not going to be happy. Because there's going to be days when they piss you off and you're going to be like, shit, what? I don't want to be with you. You just pissed me off. No, you need to be happy with yourself. and make sure that all your goals and all your obstacles, as much as possible, are achieved and accomplished before you go into the situation. Because you have, when people say, oh, when I'm going to this marriage, it's going to be 50-50, 100. You give your absolute best, and you do your absolute best, and you give your 100% just the same as they're supposed to give their 100%. Because what you're going to do is you're going to have all these expectations of this person to be giving you 50, and then the other 50, where's it going? Where's it going? No, it's you two committed to this one relationship. Y'all are tied together, this bond. You need to be giving your whole heart, your whole everything, your whole soul into this, so to make sure it works. But beforehand, you fix yourself.
Andrea, your connection is kind of.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you need to do is you need to work on yourself, become the best you, the better you, before you go into a situation where you're saying, I do. Because you don't want to go into the situation and you haven't accomplished your dreams or your goals, and then you be like me, regretting that you never got things done and out of the way. I will just take the time to travel, to find a project that you like, work on yourself, exercise, just whatever it is that makes you happy, do it to the fullest and be happy. If it's, you know, jump roping across America whatever it is, do it, and do it to the best that you can do it, and just be happy with it. And then when you get to this marriage or to this person, you can say, hey, these are the things I've done, what have you done?
Andrea, we're still having a kind of like a challenging connection.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Kind of losing you a little bit.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. But just simply just be the best you and do the best you. And then when you get married, go into it and just give your all. And you can, and then when you look back however many years you've been married, you can say, hey, I did this and I got it out of the way. Like, and now I can be happy with this person without having regrets.
Yeah, we're losing you, Andrea. We're losing you. We're losing the connection.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you. Much better, yes.
Okay. Cool beans, cool beans.
But yes. Yeah, just... No, so now I understand really what's happening. And one of the things that I noticed is many people, they jump into something so fast because they never had a chance to really get to know the other person. And when you getting into a situation where you jumping into something without knowing a person, and then you happen to say the I do's, and then that person or the other get to a point of feeling like they being annoyed because they never had a chance to get to know that person. And if they can go back, they probably would never get married because now they realizing that it's too late. So my advice to everybody that is going through that and thinking that they're so in love, and even though it has been a short period of time, is first of all, get to know yourself. Get to know yourself. Find yourself. Find yourself and deal with whatever you have to deal with. Start loving yourself before you go forward into anything. That's number one. Number two, get to know that person and see the things that you don't approve with, and see if you are willing to compromise or not. If not, you know that that's not the person for you. So now, I want to ask you this. We have like about 25 more minutes, and what I want to ask you is what is it that some of the things that you feel like you need to work on, some of the things that make you feel not happy? You said that you wrote some of the things that you wish that you can change, and that you're not happy because of incidents that happened in your childhood, within, you know, within your growing up and in your adulthood. What are some of the things that you feel that are kindling you, and they making you feel the way you're feeling? Because you're realizing that there are things, you said that you realized something about yourself that you probably didn't think about. And now that you analyze the situation, you start realizing that some of the reasons that you are behaving or acting the way you are due because of incidents that happen in our lives. So I just want to hear about some of the stuff that has happened that got you feeling like you haven't been able to love yourself the way you should.
One, I would say be vocal. I will say this. I am a talkative person. I will talk, but I'm not blunt. I will attempt to not hurt somebody before hurting. I would rather save and spare your feelings before my own. So if it means my feelings get hurt in the end, then I can deal with it. But now I realize doing that doesn't help me in the long run. So if I can be more vocal, be more blunt, that'd be cool. Also, be more confident in myself, because I have an issue with making big decisions or making decisions without saying, hey, well, what do you think about this? Going to somebody else, hey, what do you think about this? No, I need to be confident in myself to say, hey, this is my decision. I want to stand firm in it, and I'm going to go with it and deal with it. And whatever reactions I get from this, and then also to, I don't know. Well, you know, I think those are my biggest problems right now.
Okay. Literally. No, that is, hey, we have to start with one thing at a time. And believe it or not, what you just mentioned right now, that's a lot to work with.
Yeah.
So even though you might not have anything else to think about right now, but now you are in some sort of way, you are coming with a solution without you even knowing that you're coming with a solution. Because I want to ask you, you mentioned that being vocal and also going to other people for approval. So to me, it sounds similar. There's a similarity within those two issues that you're going through in your life. And what I want to ask you is, I want you to go back into your childhood, and I want you to tell me, how was your relationship with your parents? Because I want to get to the point of knowing, why is it that you feel like being vocal is one of your issues, and also not having to go to other people for approval? Tell me about you growing up with whoever you grew up with. Just tell me about that.
Okay.
Go back into time and tell me about that.
Well, for one thing, my family, I was raised by my mother's family, because my dad was absent. The one thing I will say about this is that the way my family was raised, because my great grandmother was born a slave, is that whatever adult tells you to be quiet or to respect, you better respect them. There's no other words behind it. So you either shut up and listen, or prepare the wrath that comes with it if you choose not to. So I will just give this little bit of a little backstory. So when I was about 8 years old, I was molested by a family member, and when the wife of the man who molested me came and saw what happened, she walked out the door, didn't say a word, and I ran after her because I was so scared. Well, she went and told my grandmother and my mom's twin sister, and the first words that came out of their mouth were, "Don't you be alone in the room with him by yourself." And I'm like, but nobody ever asked me, was I okay? What happened? Nothing. I was silenced. There was nothing for me to say afterwards. You gave an order. That was the end of it. Nothing to be said.
Wow. And
yeah,
that is a confession right there. You know, I wasn't expecting that, but it gets to the point to not, if it happened to you, you know how many people, how many children are going through that, are going through that trauma now, and they haven't even, the reason why they're not addressing these issues is because they're suppressing it, because they don't want anybody to know, maybe because they were told to actually just not speak about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, and for one, I wouldn't even necessarily say that it was because that they're told that not to say anything about it, because it's embarrassing. You're a young child who's been taken into an adult realm. Sex is for adults. And that's just my belief. I'm sorry. You've been taken out of your innocence to this adult realm, and you're feeling all these emotions, and you're feeling these physical things, you know, in your growings and in your body, and you're like, okay, this is uncomfortable, but why am I so comfortable with it? Why am I okay with it? Because it's natural, but it's not natural for the baby or for a child, because mentally, we haven't reached that age of understanding sex and what it is. So for me, for all these years, I told him because I didn't feel comfortable with it. I was embarrassed. And then to add it on to say, hey, this is family stuff, keep quiet.
there's nothing else to be said about it. That's done. So, you know, it's a lot of things that go behind it besides just being silenced by adults or, you know, the embarrassment, the scaredness, you know, that you may, if you say something, you can get in trouble because you've just done an adult behavior or an adult behavior was committed towards you. And you know you're not supposed to be there, or that's not supposed to happen. So what happens if you tell? You may get in trouble.
Wow. And see, that's the thing. The thing is that that's in your experience. So you know when these situations happen, it could either be because it is it feels like some sort of embarrassment, and it also could be because the people who you are looking forward towards. Them giving you some type of safetiness that you feel safe, that you want to feel safe with, they the main ones that are telling you not to speak about it. Exactly. So a lot of times it's like that gets, you know, you have a lot of people growing, a lot of kids growing with that in the back of their minds because the people that they needed to be protected by actually turned their backs on them.
Yep.
And that is a trauma that can actually create somebody to get to a point of feeling like they don't love themselves and they get married because they in a situation where they looking for love because they did not feel that they were validated when they were children.
Exactly. And that is correct. I agree with that 100% of the way.
So what are you going to do now? Talk to me about who are these people? Who are these people that you feel that you need to address in order for you to be able to move on and be able to feel like you are free?
You know what? I will say this. I've addressed my mother with it. My mom had no clue that it happened. I addressed that with her years ago. But her reply to it wasn't what I needed. It wasn't expected. So I can't hold that against my mom. So I just let that go. The man who molested me actually died 3 months after it happened. He was 70 years old and he died 3 months afterwards. So in a sense, that's taken care of. But as far as my aunt and his wife and my grandmother, as much as I want to go say, hey, this is what happened to me, this is what you did to me, and this is what you allowed to happen to me, and this is what the kind of human it has created with me, I see no point. As much as we want to get our vengeance and we want to be mad at people, I see no point. Mad at them and being upset with them and wanting to talk to them and all this stuff and cause all kind of chaos, what I do, I turn it around. I've managed to talk to people about their problems and say, hey, if you need a shoulder to cry on, let's talk about this. And that gives me peace and joy and relief. And then when it comes to my own children, I pray that never happens to them, but I'm setting them up in life so where we can openly talk about these things if they should ever feel uncomfortable with their bodies or uncomfortable with people and whoever may. And I hope it never happens. And I know it won't happen, but if somebody should come to them and make them feel uncomfortable about their bodies, that they can come and talk to me about it and then we can fix the issue and resolve it. Because what I don't want to do is have a repeated action in another generation.
Hey, I love that. I love that because this is one of the big issues that a lot of people call it genetic situation, or they call it family curse. Because this is something that if you don't address, it will continue to happen over and over and over in the upcoming generations. So in order to be able to, you know, close that chapter in your life and be able to remove that hex, in quote, is to be able to actually stop it. And where do we stop that? Starting with us. So now you mentioned that you did not feel that it was necessary to deal with those particular people because you didn't find it to be, you didn't find a purpose to actually do it. However, you're still talking about it. So by you talking about it, that means that there is something within that is still bothering you because you're looking for advice from others because you are not willing to address the situation with them. So this is my suggestion. My suggestion, and this is what I would do, and I would suggest anybody to do that is going through what you're going through right now, is to be able to face, first of all, if you didn't have that conversation with your mother, when you told her what happened and you didn't feel like you got the answer that you were seeking or you didn't get the support that you needed or whatever it was, to go ahead and get back with her and address it. and let her know that even though years passed and all that, and then you went back and you explained that to her, you still feel that that it wasn't resolved. You still feel like it's still bothering you. That's number one. When it comes to dealing with the person who actually did that to you, that passed away, is for you to actually speak to the heavens and actually just have a conversation with him and let him know that go back to that time and feel that time when he was actually doing that to you, and be able to address him and be able to say, you know what, let him know how you feel, let him know how you feel, and let him know how he made you feel, even though he's not here, but just pretend like he is and have that conversation with them in order for you to be able to move on, so you can say to yourself, do not give anybody that much power to actually have control of your life. Because even though he died 3 months after, look at you, Andrea, you're 28, you're not at that age anymore, and all these years, this particular character has been continuing to be in your life until now.
Yeah.
So you have to release him. You have to release him. And the only way is by you addressing him and talking to him and doing something that is going to aid you to be able to actually address that situation with him, because you cannot give him that type of control. So that way you can move forward from that situation. And the other two that you mentioned about the other people is to, even if you feel like there's no purpose, if they're still alive, you should be able to just call them, address them, and let them know how they made you feel. Just so that way they know how, and then you're able to move on. Just be like, look, I just want to tell you how I felt so I can move on. So I can forgive you, and then I can forgive myself. You might not want to receive my forgiveness or anything like that, because you might feel like you didn't do anything, but I want to get this over with my life so I can move forward. That's what I advise you to do.
Okay. And you know what? I'm going to take you on that advice, because I cannot disagree with that. I think that'll help a lot. Just in my thought process of listening to you and hearing you out. You know, I can't lie, it probably will help.
Yeah, kind of like we're still having a little bit of challenge of the connection, you know, with the connection. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely. So that's my advice for you to actually just be able to close that chapter. It's time for you to close those chapters. I'm not going to say that it's something that is that simple. It sounds too good to be true type of thing, or it's just you making it seem like it's simple. It's not going to be simple. But the reason why I'm telling you to do that is because I experienced not the same situation that you experienced in your childhood, but a lot of issues, a lot of traumas, a lot of stuff that happened in my childhood. And that was the only way that I was able to actually address those issues. So just know that it doesn't matter whether it's a marriage, it doesn't matter whether you are not happy with yourself, it doesn't matter whether you're going through depression, anything that has to do with your life, you need to face it. Sometimes we suppress that feeling because we feel like we is too late, we don't need to talk about it, the less we talk about it is the best. But guess what, we're giving all these particular memories, we're giving them a lot of power. And if we continue to hold on to them, it's going to make us not be who we are or really love ourselves, because we are protecting ourselves from these things not to happen to us a lot, you know, when it comes to our present.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. That's deep. Yeah.
Yeah. And by you going through, you know, by you actually addressing these situations and able to do that, like you mentioned, these are the things that are actually holding you back. Like, you also from being able to talk about how you feel, or talk about being able to address certain situations, or be able to have a voice, because you were not the way you grew up. They didn't allow you to voice your opinion. They told you that was forbidden. So that has been programmed in your brain since you being a baby, that you still feel like people do not hear you, or people don't pay you no mind, like you are non-existent, like people don't, you know what I mean? As long as they're getting what they want, it's just like you have to make them feel good because you have no say so. I just hope that this conversation that we actually had right now, and I hope that what we spoke about in some sort of way is giving you a new beginning, is giving you a new vision for you to look at, and you to kind of like think and analyze yourself to see what your next step is going to be.
Oh, it has. I'm gonna say it's a lot of relief off my chest. You know, a lot of pressure off my chest, but it's a well needed conversation. Well needed.
Yeah. I'm just so excited because, like I mentioned, this is the first episode, and I'm just like, I just feel so, you know, it feels so good to be able to understand that we do have the solutions and the ancestors are there for us to give us the answers, but we just feel like we need somebody to help us actually get to that point. And many people get to a point of just dealing with spirituality, thinking that spells and all these different kumbaya type of thing is going to heal them, but they got to go deeper than that. Healing is not by you doing only a cleansing, but there are things that you have to do in order for you to get to that point of feeling like you are free, because that's the way that you want to feel free. Now, I want to take you to the future before we end this segment. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
5 years from now, Andrea will have her degree in childhood education. Andrea would have her own car paid off and probably getting ready to buy a house and being happy for her family, so her family can be happy as well. Because when one person is not happy in the family, the whole family's not happy. That's just the honest.
And what are you thinking about doing now when it comes to your marriage? What do you think is going to be your next step? We already addressed that it takes step by step. Everything is step by step. But what do you think you're going to do different now? Or what do you feel you are going to, I can even say, do different now in order for you to actually feel like you're walking away from a situation that you don't want to be in anymore?
Like I said, be more vocal and be more confident in what I'm doing. I have to be what I feel. I have to present it to him and actually speak to him about it. And it may not be it may not feel great after a bit, but in the long run, it'll be what's best. But also got to stop living in fear as well.
Amazing. I definitely want to say thank you for being a part of this segment. I want to say thank you for being able to be so open about what you're really going through. A lot of people are so afraid and terrified to actually just being able to speak to somebody, yet to be able to tell their story to a whole bunch of people, to thousands of people. You were very brave to do that. And all I'm saying is, I want you to be happy. I want you to find your happiness. I really want you to continue to doing the things that you have to do in order for you to work on yourself. Because now that lesson for you was to get to know who you really are before you jump into anything. Not just when it comes to relationships, but when it comes to anything in life. And I will definitely be checking on you to make sure that you are doing better. And I want to hear from you. We will do another segment down the line just for an update, see how everything is going in your life at that moment when we do it again. And I want to say thank you to everybody that is listening to this and let you guys know that there is hope whenever, whatever it is that you guys are going through, even if it seems like it is bad, that it's not, that you're not going to be able to get anywhere. First of all, you have to be open. You have to be open to talk about what's really happening if you want some sort of solution and if you want to feel like you can let certain things go. I call it demons, to be able to let these demons go. But first, it starts with us and also acknowledging the situations that makes us feel the way that we're feeling. I hope that, once again, I hope I was able to pull some of your things that are happening with you and was able to get to you to be able to find some of the stuff that is really messing with you, and not only hoping that you can make a change, because I know you're going to make a change, but just be able to continue to stay strong and be able to know that not only you don't need any type of medication, because that's a personal opinion as well, but you can withdraw from something by not doing it. And even though it might take a little bit of time for you to get in a better situation, you will be able to flush it out of your system. Anybody else that is a part that want to become a part of this, what is hexing you, just please make sure that you send me a DM on Instagram, and then we'll be able to talk to create your segment so that way you can be a part of this show. And also, I want to say, Andrea, thank you once again. I hope to hear from you pretty quick. And one more thing before I go. Are we feeling hexed or are we feeling blessed?
I'm feeling blessed. And thank you again for having me here. I really appreciate it.
No problem. So thank you, and thanks everybody. Until next time, see y'all.